Welcome, everyone. We are about to begin, Be'ez Hashem, HSP, Shir number 36. That's Highly Sensitive People, Shir number 36. Today we're going to talk about chapter 4 in the book Sensitive by Jean Grammerman, called Too Much, Too Loud, Too Fast. One person used to comment that I often lament that we cannot close our ears with as much ease as we can close our eyes. And that gift of being a highly sensitive person comes with the flip side of a challenge of that deep processing brain that gives you those tremendous gifts, but it also uses a lot of mental energy because it's constantly working, constantly in use, constantly being stimulated, but it does need space. The brain asks for a little extra time, a little extra patience, a little extra quiet and calm. And if these conditions are met, if we figure out a way to meet those conditions, giving ourselves the space that we need, that's when the gifts of sensitivity is at their best. And that is when we thrive in the most unbelievable ways. But if we don't have those conditions, if we feel rushed, pressured, overworked, like in our generation, it's a lot of that there. That same mind that we have, the high HSP mind, cannot process everything. And we hit overload like an overstuffed laundry machine. And therefore, overstimulation is one of those costs of being a highly sensitive person, being responsive highly to your environment. And it is one of the biggest challenges that sensitive people face. So what do you do when you find yourself a sensitive person in a not-so-sensitive world? And we have spaces that are too packed, schedules that are too rushed, places that are too loud. We have many gifts, but society does not see these needs as gifts. So what do? You know, there are points where there's no escape. You know, which brings down a particular person here, that was going through a breakup while finishing a master's program, and she had to make decisions about what to do, very sensitive person, and she had a room, but there was construction outside her room, so she couldn't even rest there, and her stress was enormous, and to the point she couldn't string some simple sentences together. Any sort of conversation felt painful, like you were listening to earbuds too long and you simply needed to stop. She said, "It was as if my senses tensed up and recoiled out of self-defense and they have forgotten how to relax." And then she walked into an art exhibit where there was silence there, and she felt her senses calming. And she felt a certain stillness, a certain beauty, a certain peaceful energy within her. And that restored her. Now, that's not the end of her overstimulation, but sometimes we need those type of things. What does overstimulation feel like to a highly sensitive person? So one person put it this way. When I feel overstimulated, I feel trapped and anxious and have an overwhelming need to find solitude. If I'm unable to escape or retreat, I then become what appears to be dazed or checked out, although my thoughts are still fully functioning. People around me will say things like, "Are you feeling okay? Are you too quiet? Are you having any fun?" And if the overstimulation comes on fast and unexpectedly, I will also briefly experience an out-of-body feeling where my body feels completely unfamiliar to me. And the only thing that helps me when I'm overstimulated is to retreat to a warm, quiet, comfortable place. And another one said as follows, I find it builds up over time. All physical comforts begin to disappear. Everything becomes an annoyance. Conversations become irritants. I used to run around trying to fix every irritant, and that wouldn't work, and I would blow up in anger and frustration. Now I know I'm tired and need time to recharge my energy or have a good cry. Another one said to me, overstimulation feels like I'm getting poked by tons of people at once. It's kind of like a soft pressure that builds up over my body and I can't get comfortable. There are many causes of stimulation. It's not unusual for sensitive people to feel this and to experience this. and they will face it wherever they are. They'll face it at work. They'll face it when they're taking care of their children. They face it when they're forced to socialize. And the idea is as follows. There's excessive, strong, destructive sensory stimuli, crowds, loud music, repetitive sounds, irregular sounds, temperature, fragrances, bright lights, which fills a person with worries and anxieties. Then you have emotions perceived from others, negative judgments, stress, angers that get into your own emotions, and you feel your own emotions very strongly. And tight deadlines or busy schedules or being rushed from one activity to the next activity or information overload or upsetting information. Changes, even positive changes, could create this type of overwhelmingness or surprises or uncertainty or chaos or clutter in the environment, like a messy room, a messy desk, doing tasks, even familiar ones, while others observe you, is also discomforting when people are reviewing your work or things like that, or when too many things are demanding your attention at once. Why does overstimulation happen? So she writes, imagine an invisible bucket you're carrying around with us. Some people have big buckets, other sensitive people have smaller buckets, meaning you're able to contain a certain amount based on your own nervous system. And you have a different capacity to deal with that stimulation. Whatever the size of the bucket is, every sound, every emotion, every scent fills it up a little more. And when that bucket is running dry, you may be bored and restless, even depressed. But when it's overflowing, you feel very stressed, very fatigued, very overwhelmed, even panicky or angry or out of control. So when you have a child that has ADHD, for example, they always feel like the bucket is running dry. They're jumping out of their seats. They need to stimulate themselves. For the sensitive person, is the opposite. It fills quickly, just from everyday activities, like the day at work or taking care of your kids at home or things like that. And once the bucket is full, it spills over, and then we see dysregulation or overstimulation. It's like their sensory system is saying, no, no more. I processed enough. I filtered enough. I'm overworked. I'm done. It's not just a theory, this bucket analogy. It is a scientific truth. That's why very often, and I don't want to get into the shyness of birth control or things like that, but you have certain women, if they're extremely highly sensitive, their care for even one child and their the effort that they need and not to get overwhelmed and out of control and to be able to handle it, for a highly sensitive person is like for a not-so-sensitive person taking care of 3-4 kids. It's a whole different world. Therefore, when you have a couple talking about this and discussing it with their Rav and things like that, they have to take that in consideration. What's the emotional capacity of that person and what they're able to do? Just ushmartem es nafshei seichem. It's not a matter of convenience or inconvenience, but a matter of actually emotional health and real health, actual health. What makes people feel overstimulation? So there are people who described it. So one person said as follows, for me, overstimulation is an easy state of mind to slip into. Sometimes something as simple as running 5 minutes late is enough to trigger it. I have to be very mindful not to overload my emotions on the ones I care about most. Another person said it often happens that when I feel like all the people and things around me, such as chores or traffic noise or neighbors being noisy or whatever is demanding my attention, I can't escape from it. Another one says I can handle loud concerts in airports, usually because they are planned activities that I mentally prepare for. It's simple. It's more simple that, you know, stuff that can trigger me. For example, my young son makes a particular sound that he knows I can't handle. But being a child, he pushes those boundaries. And my whole body begins to tense. And another one says, I feel my most overstimulated when there is too many emotions happening around me, whether in a crowd or just one person. Once it makes me want to cry because I feel closed in. Sometimes taking a hot bath or being in a dark room by myself, that calms me down. So there's different systems of where we get our senses that could be prone to overload. Number one is basically five of them are the five senses. visual, which is sight, auditory, which is sound, olfactory, which is smell, tactile, which is touch, gustatory, which is taste. Then there are three others. One is called vestibular, which is a sense of balance and head movement, which is located in the inner ear, that balance that you have there. And the next one is the sense of one's own body's movements, located in your muscles and in your joints. And then there's the monitoring system of activity within the body, like breathing and hunger and thirst, located all over. So as long as all day long your sensory system works, it includes big things and little things, and your brain decides what is, you know, when you get dressed, for example, and you pick out a shirt and you feel it and you feel that shirt, your mind says it's safe. A mosquito, dangerous. So your body sends a message to swat it. It's not like the danger of a snake or anything like that, but it is a certain type of a danger. The stimulus, your brain filters out background noise when you see, you can hear people talk. You cut vegetables, for example, your brain adjusts to the amount of pressure your hands uses on the knife to keep you safe. So these are constant sensory things that your brain is constantly working on adjusting from minute to minute to minute to minute. And with highly sensitive people, it feels overloading. It feels overloading. And now we're going to discuss, we're going to start discussing tools of what you do when you get overstimulated. You may have racing thoughts, muscle tension, panic, anger, or desire to escape a situation. So there is something called drive and threat and soothe. The threat mode is when you feel threatened. And you use these systems. The threat system is the most powerful system because it has the greatest ability to seize control of the brain. It keeps you alive. It tells you better safe than sorry. Animals use it when they fight off predators. When they growl, for example, or do something to protect themselves. Associated with the flight response, basically. It's always on, scanning our environment for dangers. Even a spouse's sarcastic comment could trigger you. That is, as it's not really a danger per se, but the threat mode makes it feel like danger. And when you feel that fear and anger and anxiety, you enter that threat mode. Self-criticism can be part of that mode. In that sense, the body believes that you yourself are in danger. Now, it keeps us alive, but we can often go overboard with this. And when there's no threat, we tend to feel threatened. And highly sensitive people tend to do this. The next thing is called drive. Drive is basically, it's a system that makes you feel good when you attain resources or achieve goals. Animals go into drive, for example, when they build nests or attract mates or for store food for the winter. Drive gives you the buzz of joyfulness and pleasure. Drive gets you to accomplish tremendous things. But the problem is, if you go overboard there, it's never enough. You become obsessed with achieving and doing, and you feel like failure if you don't. So those are two powerful drives. The threat and drive. Threat means you're threatened by situations that you feel that are not safe, and drive means you push yourself to accomplish. This is the toughness myth. Threat and drive. You have to survive, so I will protect myself from those threats, and I will drive myself as much as possible to do everything I can. Then there's a third one called soothe, which people don't use that much. It's an antidote to overstimulation. It switches on when there's no threat. It's to relax, it's to slow down, it's to learn how to enjoy what you are doing in the present moment. And that soothe is the most pleasurable of these three systems, but it's the most easiest to ignore. It's underutilized, and it's often blocked because of prior trauma or difficult childhoods or being a victim of abuse, where it's impossible or very difficult to relax and soothe yourself in a healthy way. We'll discuss more about Ezes Hashem, how to overcome and how to handle very high overstimulation that is felt by highly sensitive people, Be'ezat Hashem, in the next shiur. Bracha v'atzlacha.